Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us. My name is Pastor Dennis Lee. As you will, let's go to the Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wonderful gifts that you've given us today. Thank you for this congregation that you've given us and the people that's listening online. And Lord, please continue the healing that you've given in our Pastor Tony. All this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, before, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to finish up on the seven churches where we just talked about the seven churches. Before we get in, just real quick, let you know what's going on in the world type thing. Over this past weekend, and I mentioned this on Sunday, but over the past weekend, all the world leaders got together in Davos in Switzerland. And they were trying to figure out what to do with us heathens out here. And one of the things that they came up with, I mean, one of their end goals is to bring in the New World Order and to bring in the one world currency and, you know, one world religion and all that. That's their end game. But one of the things that I did hear that came out of this meeting, one of the phone companies, and I'm not going to say which one, but one of these phone companies out there, the CEO of this phone company told all these leaders of Davos that he or his company has devised a way to implant the phone into your hand. That way, now, I haven't done a lot of research into it, so I don't understand the ins and outs of how a phone is going to work in your hand. But they said they had this all figured out. Okay? So I don't want to lie to you and say, hey, you're going to put your hand up to your face and talk into it. I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe in the grand scheme of things, instead of having your phone that's got all your data on it, it's going to be like a chip that's just got all your data on there. maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Like I said, I hadn't done enough research into it because I just heard that, you know, like an hour before I got here, so I hadn't really done a lot of research into it. But nonetheless, they did say that at this meeting that they had with all the world leaders. And that's supposed to come in, that's supposed to be implemented whenever they start firing up the 6G. You know, they've been pushing for a couple of years now to get everybody on 5G. And I'm not going to lie to you, there's a lot of people out there that are scared to death of 5G. And they're already getting ready to start pushing out the 6G, and they ain't got 5G out. But that's what they're getting ready to do, start pushing out the 6G. And this phone system, however it's supposed to work, you know, like I say, I'll do some more research into it, and next time we're all together, I'll give you more information on it. But this phone system that they're going to implant in you is all going to be part of this 6G network. Now, I know that it's a long step here, but 6G and 666 really ain't that far apart. You know what I'm saying? Particularly when you start talking about implants in your hand and all that kind of stuff. It don't take a lot to make those kinds of assumptions. I'm not saying that it is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. It's just something to at least be cognizant of, to think about, to be aware of. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. We're going to start with Chapter 3 of Revelations because we finished up with Chapter 2. We'll start with Chapter 3. Write to the angel of the church of Sardis. Thus says the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Be alert and strengthen what remains, which is about to die. For I have not found your work complete before my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you are not alert, I will come like a thief, and you will have no idea at what hour I will come upon you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothes, and they will walk with me in white because they are worthy. In the same way that the one who conquers will be dressed in white clothes, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Okay. Now, if we go back up to where we was at on Sunday, you remember we left off where the people in the church were starting to be martyred. Okay. So this martyrdom is carrying over into this church of Sardis. Okay, so what you've got now is you've got two groups of people, those that are ready to die for Christ and those that ain't. And that's what he's basically talking about here. They've got a reputation for being alive, but in reality, they really ain't ready to do their part. They ain't ready to take the head chopping and all that stuff to show their true love for Christ. They're not prepared for that. And that's what he's trying to tell. And then and he's also telling them, by the way, that he will come as a thief in the night if they don't straighten up. So remember the thief in the night, that's what everybody talks about when they're talking that pre-trib stuff. Well, he's going to come like a thief in the night. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what they say. Well, here he is saying it again. And we're in the middle of the tribulation period right now, too, by the way. We've already got to the part where the Antichrist is on the scene and he's already showing his butt, and everybody is, you know, having to make a choice whether they're going to be with Christ or whether they're going to starve to death or, you know, their friends and family, or whether they're going to stick with their friends and family, or if they're going to stick with Christ. I mean, there's a lot of decisions got to be made at this point. I mean, it truly is. And you got some that they'll want to play both sides of the fence. You know what I'm saying? And you can't do that. Not with God. It's all or nothing. And that's just the way it is. I mean, like it or not, that's the way it is. It's all or nothing. And these people here are trying to straddle the fence, basically. Yeah, we're with Christ until something bad happens. And then when that bad thing passes, yep, I'm with Christ until something else bad happens. You know? And that's the whole point behind the tribulation period anyway. It's a testing. You know, that's what tribulation truly means, testing. They're being tested. So, but at the same time, you do have those that are fully with Christ. They're ready to die for him any minute. You know, take me to the gallows right now. I'm ready to go. You're doing me a favor. You know, point blank. So you got those, and those are the ones that he's saying that they will walk with me in white because they are worthy. Those are these same people. They're not the ones that are straddling the fence, and they're certainly not the ones on the left side of the fence. Yeah. Now, verse 7, write to the angel, the church in Philadelphia, thus says the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and who closes no one will open. Okay? Again, all these things at the beginning of these is just a redefinition of who Christ is. He's letting them know that it's Christ to say these things. I know your works. Look, I place before you an open door that no one can close because you have but little power. In other words, there's very few of them left. Very few of them left. There's no organized churches anymore. There's not. They're you know, because everybody's had to split and go their separate ways and fend for themselves and all this kind of stuff. So there's no organized religion anymore, or at least, well, Christianity, what we're doing here, there's no organized Christianity anymore because, you know, the government shut down the churches and they're arresting people and taking them to be beheaded. So they're just obviously there's no more churches out there, you know. Underground churches, yes. People have a church in people's basements and, you know, out in the woods somewhere, yes. All that's still going on. But a building like this, no, there's no more churches like that. So he recognizes they have little power left. He understands that. Now, there are very few of them left as well. Yet, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Key thing there. Note this. I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying. I will make them come and bow down at your feet. Okay? And we're going to stop right there. A lot of people, because this is Christ talking, and he's saying the synagogue, that he thinks they're only talking about Jews. I would like to add to that, yes, he probably is talking about the Jews, but he's also talking about the false church because they didn't have churches at that time. They had synagogues. And he's talking about the false church, and he's also talking about the false Jews, which Israel is absolutely full of false Jews. You know, one of the biggest homosexual rallies in the entire world is in Tel Aviv. A lot of people don't realize that. I mean, it is. The biggest one in the entire world is in Tel Aviv, which is right there in Israel. There's more atheists in Israel than there are practicing Jews. A lot of people, they all say they're Jews, but they're actually atheists. They're Jew by name, but not by works or by deed. Because the way a Jew is considered a Jew is if their mother was a Jew, then they're automatically considered a Jew. So, but I digress on that. It's just the fact that I think that while he may be talking about some Jews here, he's also talking about the false church, you know, the Joel Osteens, the Benny Hinn's, and all those people, and all these big mega churches that are around that are pushing a false gospel out there. That all you got to do is believe and you can go to heaven. Those are the ones that's going to turn on you when the time gets bad, you know, because you've got to remember, we was talking about the two witnesses and all the things that the two witnesses are doing out there, you know. They're going to make the of a worldwide drought for 3 years. They're going to turn the water to blood. All the things that happened with Moses is what they're going to do. They're going to do those exact same things, but it's going to be a worldwide. So there's going to be a lot of people out there hungry because there ain't no food. There's going to be a lot of people out there hungry because they didn't take the mark. And then on top of that, there's no food and no water. All that mess is going on. And because you're going to be associated with the two witnesses, then naturally it's all going to come back on you. And it is my personal opinion. I can't prove this one way or the other because this is prophecy and it had played out, so it could, you know, turn any which way you wanted it to, because God's in control, not me. But I foresee that that the two witnesses are going to be doing all this stuff, and everybody's going to be all kinds of upset, and we know they're going to be all kinds of upset because it says when the Antichrist slaughters them, they're going to lay in the street for 3 days so everybody can see them, and then all the people are going, it's going to be like Christmas, they're going to be giving gifts to everybody, you know, to celebrate the fact that they're dead. So, it just puts a little bit more emphasis on what's going on. So, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to endure. And that's something else that the Bible tells us all through. Endure to the end and you shall be saved. Endure to the end. I can't count how many times I've said that standing right here. If you endure to the end, you shall be saved. I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Now, a lot of people, particularly the pre-trib people, they say, well, see, that right there says that we're not going to be tested. We're going to be pulled out. They get this confusion. The confusion comes in where they say that the seals is God's wrath. But it's not. Who's doing the breaking of the seals? It's Christ, right? Christ is the one that's breaking the seals. He is letting the Antichrist or Satan have his time in the sun. He's given Satan exactly the same thing that he gave Christ. He gave him 3.5 years. That's how long Christ's ministry was, right? 3.5 years. He's given him the exact same thing. He's given him 3.5 years to do what he can do. And at the end of those 3.5 years, holy hell breaks loose, literally. And that's what's going to happen. That's when the wrath comes, is at the end of his 3.5 year period. Well, his 3.5 year period don't start back here in the first seal. It starts right here at the sixth seal. That's where history, because that's where we know he is the Antichrist, because he's already started killing people. He's sitting on the throne, and that's the only way that we know who the Antichrist is whenever he is literally sitting in the holy place and claiming to be God. Until then, we don't actually know that we're even in the tribulation period. Like right now, we could literally be in the tribulation period right now. I don't think so, but we could be. Because things start off slowly and then they just gradually keep climbing to a crescendo. Yeah? Could we be? Absolutely. We absolutely could be. Because I can literally prove that we are in it very easily. But that don't mean I'm right. Because nobody will truly know until the midpoint of the tribulation. And that's another reason why I say that the whole pre-trib thing is a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, because it tells you point blank, and I'll show you here in a minute, but it tells you point blank, you cannot know until the Antichrist is identified at the 3.5 year mark. So that means already 3.5 years have passed, and you got another 3.5 years of him being on the scene. So nobody even knows. And I think that the two witnesses are going to come about somewhere just before he comes on the scene, maybe just a little bit before, maybe just a little bit after, who knows, the specific time frame that the two witnesses are going to come on, but everything's already started. It's not going to be the last 3.5 years, I know that. I think they're going to be kind of stuck in the middle, like a year, year and a half before, a year, year and a half after, because it's the Antichrist that kills them. And he's killing them at the exact same time that he's killing the martyrs. He's killing the martyrs first, and then he's going to come back and kill the Antichrist, because killing the martyrs didn't do nothing to stop anything. It kept going on, so he's going to wind up killing the two witnesses. And that'll be somewhere, at the end of the 3.5 year, 4th year into all this, which is technically where we're at right now. Okay. So let's finish this up. Because you have kept my command to endure, I will keep you from the hour of testing that is going on to the whole world and to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one takes your crown. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out. Never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, and the new name and my new name. Let anyone who has ears here, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay. So somewhere between this point right here and the next church that comes up is where I personally believe that's where the rapture is. Because he doesn't say it, he's coming to get them. The church before this, he says, straighten your act up, because I'm going to come on you like a thief in the night. These people here, they're already whittled down. There ain't much left to them. There ain't much left to the church at all. And now he's saying, all right, because he says he's not going to test you no more than you can handle. And they've already been to as much as they could stand, Let's say there's a billion Christians, true Christians in the world. Well, they're down to, maybe a couple hundred million at this point, maybe even less than that. We're talking worldwide, So they're whittled down. They don't know where else to turn. They're pretty much starved to death. They done everything that they could possibly do, and now Christ is going to pull them out right before he starts his mess with dealing with Satan. And then the letter of Laodicea, okay? Now, the church of Laodicea, in my personal opinion, is the church of what's, as the pre-tribulation people like to call it, the people that get left behind. That's who these are. These are the ones that were riding that fence the whole time, that were kept bouncing back and forth. That's who these people are, okay? These are the ones that are left behind. They truly are left behind. And I personally think, and this is just me, I've read it, but other people have read something where they contradict it, so I can't say 100%. So the best thing to do is just not be part of this group. But my personal opinion, and you'll see it whenever we go through it, I still think that there is opportunity for them to still go to heaven. I really do. I firmly believe that. But only if they didn't take the mark of the beast, because there's going to be a lot of people out there that has nothing to do with Christianity that didn't take the mark. For example, some Jews that didn't take the mark of the beast, that didn't bow down and worship to Satan. There's just always that group of people out there that are just contrary to everything anyway. Kind of like me, personally. But, if you say, go do this. I'm that kind of person. I don't think so. I think I'm going to go over here and do this. You know, that's just the way I'm built. Not that I'm all confrontational or anything, but, you know, if everybody's going here, I'm going over here. That's just the way I am. You know? And there's going to be a lot of those people out there. And I think once they see what's going on in the world, they still have the opportunity to be saved, converted. Now, they still have to do all the same things. They still have to repent. They still have to change their ways. They still have to be baptized. No, nothing of this has changed any whatsoever. All the same things that they had to do. The bad part is, and we'll get into it, the bad part is they got to go literally to the end. I mean, they got to make it through all that mess. And we know from reading the rest of Revelations that Christ had to put a stop to it, or there would be no flesh left. And it literally says that. There would be no flesh left if he didn't stop it early. And he said he had to stop it early because of the saints. So that in and of itself tells me there's going to be people converted at the end after everybody's gone. Whether it's going to be a lot of them, I kind of doubt it. But there's still going to be a few. And we know there's going to be some Jews that come out of it because, you know, they're the chosen people. Once they figure out, you know, what little bit of Christians that are left get raptured out, because every eye is going to see is going up. You know, it's no secret. Everybody's going to see it. It's no secret rapture. You know, and that's what these pre-trib people say. There's a secret rapture. No, there's not. It literally says Christ is coming on the clouds and every eye will see. And when he's on the clouds, he's pulling his people up. That's the rapture. All coming on the clouds is the rapture. When he steps his foot down on the Mount of Olives, that's when he's come to, you know, to be the bad guy and fight Satan on a one-on-one level. So there's two different comings there. One's on the clouds, and one's where he's stepping his foot on the ground, where he's coming on the horse. He's coming on the horse in one, and he's going to put his foot on the ground with all the saints, because the saints is going to be with him as his army. Are you following? Tracking. Good? Understand? But I'll read all that stuff to you. I'll show it to you. But, yeah, the saints that are raptured are going to come back with Christ whenever he comes back on his white horse for Armageddon, where everybody gets slain at Armageddon. That's when he comes back on the white horse. When he comes back on the clouds, he's sitting on his throne, you know, on the clouds. And that's the rapture in every eye, I see. All right, so let's get on with the lady and see here. Write to the church, write to the angel of the church of Laodicea. Let me stop right there, because I've neglected to mention this all through this. You've heard, I'm sure you've heard it said, that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against princes and principalities and the powers of the air. I'm sure you've heard that, correct? This is just one example of it. Our government, as an angel overseeing it. Every government out there has an angel that's overseeing it. Have you ever done any studying in the book of Job? Sometime whenever you get a chance, just read the first chapter of Job, and you'll understand where I'm coming from. First chapter of Job, it talks about Satan. They're having their council meeting, and Satan comes in on the council meeting. And God goes, well, where have you been? And he goes, walking back and forth on the earth. Well, the council meeting is these angels, the ones that are running the world. Okay? You remember back at the Tower of Babel, where the earth got split up? And everybody got split all their different ways, different languages and countries and all that stuff at the Tower of Babel. Well, he split the earth into 120 regions or 120 kingdoms or whatever you want to call it, and you've got 120 angels up there. And of those 120, you've got 24. You got 24 of those angels, which are like their bosses. You got the 120, and then you got 24 that's in charge of them. Okay. The 24 that's in charge of all these guys is the council. So that's the council that Satan walked in on whenever having their little council meeting. And these are these 24 and these 120. You remember it said that when judgment day comes and you're a saved Christian, that you're going to be not only judging other people, but you're also going to be judging angels. Well, these are the angels that you're going to be judging because you see what they've done to the world. And God ain't very happy with them right now. So he's going to judge those angels. Actually, he's going to let you judge those angels because you had to live through all the chaos that they've created. Does that make sense? So, I'm sure you've probably never heard anybody say that or talk about it, but it's all there. And it's split up, you know, a bunch of different places. And you got to kind of put it all together, put all these things together to make it make sense. But it's all there. And it's even in the New Testament as well. But it explains it all. Right to this, to the Church of Laodicea, thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. So there's again another witness to the fact that Jesus created everything. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. In other words, you're riding the fence. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So in other words, they're going to come up there and they're going to think they're going to be going up in the rapture. And some of them may actually start their trip and they're going to get sent back. But he just said right there, he's going to vomit them out because they've been riding the fence. You can't ride the fence. It's either yes or no, up or down, left or right. There's no gray area when it comes to God. It's all white or black. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have been wealthy and need nothing. You don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So a lot of these people are not necessarily going to be rich, but because they've been playing both sides, of the fence, they don't know what's going on, you know, because they really have. They've been playing both sides of the fence. And because they've been playing both sides of the fence, you know, they've been having food, and they've been getting clothing, and they've been doing this, and they've been doing that. They hadn't took tomorrow, but they've been playing that, you know, reach around game so they can get what they need around here and then stand over here type thing. So they're literally straddling the fence, trying to play both sides against the middle, have your cake and eat it too, so to speak. And we know that can't happen. Where you say, I am rich, I have been wealthy, and need nothing. You don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you may be rich, white clothes, so you may be dressed. White clothes, so that you may be dressed, and your shameful nakedness not be exposed, and ointment spread on your eyes, so you may see. So, if I'm correct in saying that the rapture was the Church of Philadelphia, and the rapture's already happened, these people here still have an opportunity. You see that? They still have an opportunity. That don't mean they're going to take it, but they still have an opportunity. That don't mean that they're going to be raptured. That don't happen but once. But they got to endure all the trumpets, all the bulls, and hope they don't die, to live with God in the millennial kingdom. If they do die, they better hope that they repented, they got baptized, and accepted the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. Because they still got to do all those same things, just like the Jews do. They're going to have to do all those same things as well. And there's still going to be a church here. But it's going to be the underground church. And what's really, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, I'm not exactly sure. But the church is going to be these people here. The ones that thought they were going, thought they was going to get raptured. And they figured out, way younger, too late, they wasn't doing the right thing. So now they got a choice to make. Am I going to continue to do the right thing and suffer immensely? Or am I not going to do the right thing and live a good life, what's left of it here on earth, and pay the consequences in the afterlife? You know, it's literally going to be their choice at that point. Of course, that's always been a choice anyway, but that's the choice that has been placed upon them because they hadn't done the right things when they were supposed to do them. And this gold, when it says, buy gold refined in the fire, well, guess what? That's the trumpet and the wrath of God. They literally got to go through the wrath. They're going through that fire. Yeah. If they make it through that and they can hold on to their faith through all that mess, then they are golden. But they have to do it. They have to endure. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. So he's telling them up front, you still got to repent. You got to do the right things. You're going through the fire because you done missed the boat. You know, you got to walk that 5 miles now. Or swim them 5 miles to the next island. You're not going to be able to take the boat. Folks done left. You got to endure through this. What's coming up? But if you keep yourself straight, I'm still here. All you got to do is open the door. I'm still here. I'll take care of you. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit on my right side, to sit with me on my throne, just as I have conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. In essence, what he's telling these people, yep, you screwed up. You screwed up bad. And now you missed a boat, and now you got to go through the same kind of stuff that I went through. You have to go through it. There ain't no ifs, ands, buts, but. You got to go through the same crap that I went through. And now, if they endure all the troubles and tribulations and the wrath of God that's coming down on earth and survive it and keep up their faith, even if they don't survive it, they die with good faith, then they will be with Christ forever and ever and will be sitting on the throne with him. And that's what he's trying to let them know there. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. So there it is. That's all of it in a nutshell. So if you take, and I recommend that you do this, don't take my word for anything, but if you take and write down some of the key things from each of the churches, the good points, because he does with all of them except for the Church of Philadelphia. He tells them what they're doing wrong, and he's telling them what they're doing right. And then in between what he's telling them what they're doing wrong and what he's telling them they're doing right, he's telling them what kind of things are going on in the world, what they're enduring. And if you take the things that they're enduring and compare that to the seals, you'll see that it's a perfect roadmap, and it tells you exactly what you have to do during each stage of the tribulation period. And if you follow this, and do exactly what it says during each stage, or at least the right things that it says to do, and try not to do the bad things that it's talking about, then when he does come back on his throne on the cloud, he'll pull you up with him. And then you'll get to come back and be in his army that fights Satan at our Armageddon. And it's just perfectly wrote out there, perfectly plain. Yeah. To me, it is. To me, it's perfectly plain. Now, we've got a couple minutes. I'm going to read about the two witnesses real quick because we've been talking about them. And it's not very long. All right, so this is chapter 11. Then I was given a measuring reed, like a rod, with these words, "Go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count those who worship there. But exclude the courtyard outside the temple. Don't measure it, because it is given unto the nations. And they will trample the holy city for 42 months. I will grant my two witnesses authority to prophesy for 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years, by the way. Dressed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone wants to harm them, fire comes from their mouth and consumes their enemies. If anybody wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. They have the authority to close up the sky so it does not rain during the days of their prophecy, which is 3.5 years. They also have the power of water to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague whenever they want. And the plagues that they're talking about are the plagues, the same plagues that Moses was dealing with. When they are finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war on them, conquer them, and kill them. Their dead bodies will lie in the main street of the great city, which figuratively is called Sodom and Egypt, which we know that's Jerusalem, where also their Lord was crucified. And that just compounds the fact that they're doing all their preaching in Jerusalem. Or at least that's where they're going to be killed at. And some of these peoples, tribes, and languages, and nations will view their bodies for 3.5 days and not permit their bodies to be put into a tomb. In other words, they're going to lay on the ground for 3.5 days. Those who live on the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate and send gifts to one another because these two prophets had tormented those who live on earth. That's what I'll say. They're going to... Everything has been so bad because it hadn't rained. Everybody's thirsty because all the water got turned to blood. Well, I should say all the water, but water got turned to blood. So let's say San Francisco, which we know ain't nothing but a hell pit. San Francisco, I would venture to say the water in San Francisco is going to be turned to blood. Water in Tel Aviv, which is the biggest homosexual place in the world right now, is probably going to be turned to blood. You know, all these kinds of things. So those things are definitely going to happen. And there's definitely going to be a worldwide drought. Whether that drought means that it's going to be like the drought we're going through here right now, it's just going to last for 3.5 years, where it may sprinkle here and sprinkle there a little bit, just enough to really irritate you, to make it hot and humid, but not enough to make the plants grow and the animals and livestock, you know, reproduce and stuff. Who knows? I venture to say that it's not going to rain at all, but it could, you know. The whole earth is a great big place for it not to rain any at all, anywhere, for 3.5 years. I think there's going to be a lot of sprinklings and stuff like that, but maybe not any downpours or nourishing rains. Let's put it that way. I don't think there's going to be any nourishing rains. And naturally, everything's going to dry up and crack up and turn to dust and all, you know, it's just going to be a mess. And then on top of that, naturally, if it's a drought situation, typically it's usually very, very hot on top of that. You got all these liberals out there talking about climate change. They're fixing to experience it firsthand. Yeah, there is climate change, but it ain't because we did. It's because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and now God's paying you for it. Yeah, It's going to be God's climate change. But after 3.5 days, they're still laying on the street. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. Great fear fell amongst those who saw them. Now, personally, this is just me. I don't know this. It's just me. But if the two witnesses, and nobody knows their time frame, like I say, but let's just say that their 3.5 years of preaching coincides with the first seal, then that means that their 3.5 years is going to be at the exact same time as the rapture. In other words, they would be raptured up with us. I don't know that that's going to be the case. Personally, I kind of think their time frame is kind of stuck in between. In other words, their 18th month is going to be the dead center of the 3.5 years. You know what I'm saying? I personally think that. But it's entirely possible that they're starting their ministry as soon as the first seal is broken. Say the Bible don't give us any clarification on that, so we don't know when they start. But we do know that they're preaching long before the Antichrist comes on the scene. When they start, nobody knows. But because the Antichrist is the one who kills them. And they've already been wreaking havoc on the earth for a while at this point. Whenever he kills them, they've already been wreaking havoc for 3.5 years. When he kills them. So, and we know the Antichrist starts off with the martyrs and goes from the martyrs to them. And the martyrdom starts roughly at 3.5-4 years mark. But after all these, but after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God enters them, and they stood on their own feet. Great fear fell on those who saw them. They heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. They went up into heaven in a cloud, same cloud that we was talking about earlier, while their enemies watched them. At that moment, a violent earthquake took place and a tenth of the city fell and 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. The survivors were terrified and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe has passed. Take note, the third woe is coming soon. Okay, so again, nobody knows the time frame. It wouldn't surprise me at all that they're raptured. That if they're not raptured at the same time that we're raptured, because it says they're going into the clouds, just like you and I are. I mean, everything matches the rapture of us. But is it going to be then? Only God knows. Because only God knows when the rapture is going to be. So, but I hope that I didn't confuse you anymore. If anybody has any questions out there online or anything, I'll give you my phone number and my email address so as y'all can ask questions. If anybody is listening, I'd be more than happy to answer them. The key to my personal ministry is I want everybody to read the Bible themselves, get their own understanding. Don't listen to what I say. Don't listen to what Pastor Tony says. Don't listen to what anybody else says. Pray, read the Bible for yourself, and get your own understanding of what it says. Yes, somebody that studied the Bible a little bit longer than you can give you some key points, can point you in a hopefully a right direction, because there's some people out there that are pointing people all kinds of wrong. But at the same time, they may actually have something good to say as well. So listen to what they say, but don't take what any man says as gospel, because the gospel is this book. Read what the book says and understand what the book says. And then if you've got questions, go to somebody, and they can point you in the right direction. That's what I want everybody to do, is to study and read. So if anybody wants my phone number, it's area code 270-317-0635. And please don't call. Just send a text and I'll return the text. I don't get very good service out where I live, so I probably wouldn't get the phone call anyway. So again, just send me a text. The text messages, for some reason, always go through. I'd be more than happy to get back with you. All right. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting we had tonight. Thank you for blessing us with your presence and the Holy Spirit. Lord, again, thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us, and thank you for the continued healing of Pastor Tony, and may you bring him back to us soon. Lord, guide us through these perilous times that we're dealing with right now, and give us more and more strength and faith to do your word and to live the life that you want us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody, we'll be back Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Till then, everybody have a very blessed day. Goodbye.